Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Romans chapter 8. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. This is the text. Because my wife, Melinda, was born and raised 3 miles from my dad's first church in Homestead, Iowa, there are some people who have assumed that I lived at least a portion of my early years in Iowa. I always tell people it wasn't even a thought at that time. I was born a few years later after my dad took a call to Indiana. Now, to my mom and dad, when they lived in Iowa, it wasn't even a thought, maybe a thought. But to my Father in heaven, I had been planned long before my parents even lived in Iowa. But it's not just me. It's true of you also. God foreknew and predestined you to be his child. What our Lord once said to the prophet Jeremiah, it applies to us also. He said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." Our baptism may have been our introduction to God, but it was not God's introduction to us. God foreknew you from the beginning. God always had you in mind. The world measures our existence from the day we were born until the day we die. Many of them don't even count the months in the womb, unfortunately. This sinful fallen world is blind, or at least extremely nearsighted, when pondering our existence and our relationship to God. Adam's sin stole away the lion's share of our potential. Only in Christ do we have the potential to live on beyond the death of this body. God measures our existence very differently than the world does. He has known you from the beginning. He elected you to be his own. He then called you to faith through the water and the word of holy baptism. He justified you by sending his Son. Christ has triumphed. He declares you to be righteous. The penalty for your sin has already been paid for by our Lord Jesus Christ. He has triumphed over sin and death. You are that pearl of great value that we heard of in our gospel reading. And God, your Father, gave everything, even his own Son, so that he could purchase you out of that slavery to sin, so that you could be his child and no longer a slave. And because we now stand justified before our Lord, he will one day call us out of this life through the death of this body, and we will be glorified in his eternal kingdom. And one day, there will be a resurrection of the dead, and we will receive the new bodies that he intended for us to have, the perfection that he intended from the beginning. Paul's words, which we hear in his letter to the Romans, are really a summary of our existence, so long as we don't shipwreck and abandon our faith. God's knowledge of each one of you has always existed. God's plan for your salvation was always certain. Our glorious home is certain. The resurrection of the body is certain. Life everlasting, the lion's share of our existence, is certain for those who are in Christ. All of this is the result of God's divine goodness and mercy. That's the confidence that the doctrine of predestination is meant to instill in each of us. Now, Paul's words concerning us being predestined and elected for salvation, it doesn't answer all the questions that we want answered. It really only answers one side of the equation. Last week in our gospel reading, we heard the parable of the weeds. God sowed good seed, the enemy sowed bad seed. The weeds and the wheat grew up together, and the master told his servants to wait for the harvest to separate them. And the wheat was taken to the master's barn, and the weeds were burned in the fiery furnace. Just like we hear in this week's gospel reading about the good fish and the bad fish, and how on the last day, at the end time, the angels will sort the good from the bad, and the bad will be thrown into the fiery furnace where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. The classic question is, how do you turn a weed into wheat or a bad fish into a good fish? The classic answer is, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. The parable of the weeds, just like the story of the fish, like Paul's words concerning the doctrine of predestination, it's only meant to speak of the blessings of the harvest of the end time, and also the warning for those who are outside of the kingdom. It doesn't explain how faith is formed. It's meant to give confidence and surety to our life and our future. These are words meant for God's elect to hear and know that our salvation was never a question mark. God foreknew you. He knew you before he laid the foundation of this world. He predestined you to be his child. Had in mind all along to call you to be his own, to justify you with the blood of his own son. And the good news is Christ has triumphed. He is living. Because he has done all of this, there is every reason to have confidence that we also will be glorified, and we will spend an eternity with our Lord. The grave will not hold us, just as it could not hold Christ our Lord. We gather here today as God's people, not because we're smarter than other people and, oh, we really figured some things out. Not because we're better or prettier than other people. We're here this day as God's people because in his divine wisdom and goodness, he chose to love us. He chose to call us as his own, to call you his child. And he called you to faith as a pure gift of grace, not because of anything we did. We do not deserve this. We've done nothing to earn this. We were chosen by the grace of God. In the same way that he chose Abraham out of all of the people to be the father of his chosen people. Simply because he chose to show his love to us. It doesn't answer why some are saved and not others. And we pray for those who do not know the joy that we have. But in his choosing to love us, we see him demonstrate his true character. As scripture says again and again, that he is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, showing mercy to his people for 1,000 generations. elected, predestined, from the beginning. We were called to faith, to the water and the word. We are justified by the blood of the Son of God. And one day we will join those who have been glorified in the company of heaven. And we will rejoice one day at the resurrection of the dead and take our place in the life everlasting. That is the existence that God has planned for you. The existence he had planned for you before he formed you in the womb. And that's the plan that he has been carrying out throughout your lives. From our perspective, our journey in the kingdom of God began at our baptism. And we would not be wrong in saying that. In fact, we do say that. But as St. Paul reminds us, that God's plan for you began a long time ago. And our life in the kingdom of God was never in doubt. He planned it from the beginning. And this day, we give thanks to God for calling each of us into his kingdom of grace, into his church, where we find forgiveness, being justified before our Lord, simply because he has chosen to declare us to be not guilty of anything that we have done. That is the triumph of Christ our Lord. He has taken away the sting of death, the burden of sin. And we look forward to that day that we are called into the kingdom of glory and join the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven in a much more, even more tangible sense than we do as we gather around the Lord's table, so that God may finish the good work that he began in us so very long ago. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.